Okay, well, good morning, everyone. I'd like to continue our session on science education, or soil science education and outreach. I'm Gary Krasinski from Kansas State, chairing the session and making this presentation. So I'd like to share with you some experiences we have had in developing a Twitter account and a following. Obviously, we think it works, otherwise I wouldn't be here. My co-authors are a mix of other faculty members and as well as a number of undergraduate and professionals in the communications area. So it clearly has been a team effort over the past 18 months. So we're going to talk a little bit about just what is Twitter in case anyone is not familiar with it, some considerations if you're thinking about getting into this area, some success stories, some things that have worked very well for us, a few comments about kind of harnessing the power, and then some metrics to determine whether you're being effective or not, and then some conclusions. So there's a lot of definitions of Twitter out there. If you look it up and you run across some of the more obtuse ones, it might say something like a microblogging platform to blah, 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 and you look at that and you just have no idea what it means. So this is probably the best one that I found that is very concise. It doesn't necessarily infer in you the power of it, but it's just simply an online social networking service that enables users to send and read short 140-character messages called tweets. All right, so that sounds simple enough, much like a text message that you might send. What I have at the bottom there is one of our tweets that kind of gets at what you can accomplish with this. So it's a simple question. Should you apply cheatgrass herbicides this fall or wait until later? K-State's Dallas Peterson gives his advice, and then a link. Okay, so there's a message there, and obviously you're directing that at your followers. You want as many followers as possible, and the important thing is that we've linked them to something. Okay, so tweets allow you to embed photos and graphics and links, and therefore become much more powerful than simple 140-character messages. And from my own perspective, I had a very negative view about Twitter before I started because I thought, you know, who cares what I had for lunch or what good book I read or something like that, so why should I be concerned about it? So at the bottom it says, if you're shy or uncertain, just join and listen for a while. And be careful about who you follow, because there is a lot of junk out there. But you will quickly see what can be done with this powerful tool. So it really is, it's an important opportunity to interact, or it's an opportunity to interact with some very important audiences for you. So we're a Department of Agronomy. We have extension programs, so that's the logical conclusion there, that it's a way to bring people to our content. It's there. Many people aren't aware of it. Well, I'll show you some examples where we've greatly increased our reach. So some considerations in getting started. And if you follow Twitter and you watch what some people put out, it's very clear they have not defined their audience because it's almost random. Varying from, you know, TMI, too much information, to obscure, to things that may have some value. And there's lots of possibilities. Maybe it is something that's more personal. Maybe somebody does care what you had for lunch or what book you read. But in our case, it's more our stakeholders, practicing professionals. What do we have to offer, and what are our objectives, and then what is our overall message? And our message is valuable information for producers and practicing professionals. And then ask yourself, what interests your audience? You know, there's a wide variety of things, even with a fairly narrowly defined audience. Things like news, useful information or data, a little bit of self-promotion or promotion, a little bit of conversation. We don't do too much of that. What I call pass-along value, things that you receive that you think might be useful to your followers. So you retweet it, you pass it along. And then the personal, and if you read some of the more humorous articles about Twitter, they call it pointless babble, and clearly there's a lot of that, and they've actually quantified this, about 40% of it is pointless babble. One of the things you may have to deal with is, in an organization, is it individual accounts, or is it a shared account? So we started as kind of a shared account with the whole department, K-State Agron, out there. But as a department head, I didn't want to discourage faculty from doing this. So in essence, we've struck a nice balance. We all work together. We resend our own information out. We're building the identity of not only the department, but individual faculty members. And I guess if you're a company, you can put a very tight control on this. Not as easy to do in a university setting. A lot of temptations to just retweet a lot of stuff. And it is useful to retweet your own from materials from your own people, assuming that the content is appropriate. And you have to be careful that what is your message and are you trying to be objective or not? So from a university standpoint, we try to avoid the controversial stuff. We don't get into the GMO debate, the organic versus conventional debate. There's no need for us to go there. Okay, we might pass along objective information, but we don't make any stands on such topics because, again, there's no need for us to do that. And planning ahead is critical. As you get going on this, and we consulted with the professionals, we had a pretty good idea of what was going on when for several months in advance before we ever started. And then you have the issue of sort of the conversation, people want to direct message you or reply. We were a little fearful of this because that's where the time crunch would come in, people asking questions, so to speak. Has not turned out to be an issue whatsoever. We probably don't get much in the way of direct messages or replies, maybe once a week at most. I've already mentioned avoiding controversial topics as appropriate, and as far as I'm concerned, that's whenever possible. Again, it's, you know, what are your objectives? We're not staking out any ideological grounds here, so there's no point for us to make stands on any issues. Consider hiring a professional, but if there's one thing to take home from this, you still need to be involved. And kind of the way that I visualize this is we have this interface between the communications experts and the technical experts, and neither one of them can operate without the other, and if you don't communicate, if they don't communicate well, you're going to have problems. Technical experts are going to send out way too much information, and they'll have poor strategy. Communication experts will have great strategy, but they don't know what to send out. You turn it over to them, they'll send out things, and you go, why in the world did you ever say that or do that? So you have to manage the interface, and if you're starting this or responsible for it, that is where you're going to spend most of your time. Trying to connect those two camps so that good information goes out at the right time and with the right strategy, and it may involve, you know, some editing some things and looking at some things before they go out, because you don't want to have any huge errors, or you don't want your followers to think, oh, these people don't know what they're doing, and unfollow you. So what did we settle on? Well, it's KStateAgron is our handle. Relevant and timely information for producers, agents, and consultants. So we're definitely targeting the practicing agronomist. We do a little bit of announcements and live tweetings. When we have field days, we say, here's Ignacio in the back of the room talking about drought-tolerant corn and little tidbits of information that they might find information or useful. Relevant observations and current events, things that affect the agronomic profession. We do a small amount of bragging. If someone has won a big award, we'll send that out. E-updates are something I'll talk about in a little bit. That is our electronic newsletter, one of our success stories. We even do our radio interviews. When people go do a radio interview, we'll link to that. So down in the bottom right is a screenshot from our Twitter account. It shows 1,544 followers, or actually, since I put this together, we've gained another 25 or so. We first started, we thought, well, we're targeting Kansas, maybe 500 people. Well, we passed that up within 6 months, so we've been at it 18 months now, and we have almost 1,600 followers. So what are some success stories? Well, one of our biggest ones was this electronic newsletter we would send out to an email list once a week. It's called eUpdate. And we did several things. It was a PDF file that we would send out. So people would click, it has four or five stories, and if you didn't know about it, or didn't stumble upon it, I mean, there was no way to get people involved with this. We did a couple of things. We made it readable on a smartphone. That was a key thing, or on tablets, or on something other than a full-screen computer screen. And we parsed it out into individual stories. So we could then not only send out a message that says eUpdate is available every Friday, goes out, we can follow that up in the coming week with tweets about individual stories. Okay? And we can conservatively estimate we have gained at least 700 followers, more than double the number of people who now see that every week. I can't guarantee you they read it, but they have the opportunity to read it just by using Twitter. So to me, that's a pretty powerful statement. And it's all about, I mean, we've got all this great stuff. We say we're our best kept secret. Let's get that secret out there. Additional success stories. These are little screenshots from our Bitly account. Bitly is the account that you're one of the programs you can use to shorten up URLs so they don't take up too many of your 140 characters. Now, these are two from one of the e-updates that went out in August. The first one is about a new grain sorghum hybrid. This one was doubly beneficial to us. A lot of people interested in grain sorghum in Kansas and weed control issues. The Enzym Z is our development. So they got directed to an e-update story that said K-State's new Enzym Z grain sorghum. Okay, so we got that credit and then all the benefits that it will offer. And you can follow as a metric how many clicks there are on that link. So we immediately got almost 150 clicks on that, which is pretty good. Out of all the people who received this, you know, that's like 10-15% of our people that are clicking on that story. Pretty good penetration. And at the bottom, enhancing soybean yield potential. This was in August when farmers were wondering about, you know, what is my yield potential on these beans? And in Kansas, the August rains will make all the difference. Now we gave them a way to go out and actually estimate that yield at that point in the growing season, 100 clicks before you knew what happened. Another example there at the top, Cerisa lespediza. Lespediza is an important invasive species in our rangelands. Fall control is important, so bam, 111 clicks on that one right away. So people are hungry for this information. We're getting it to them. The bottom one is kind of interesting, winter wheat performance test. This is our variety performance test program. So in the wheat annual cycle, we harvest in mostly in June, so we've got all these variety trials out there. And what we would do is, you know, collect the data, we'd run the numbers, and we would begin publishing the results from these. And they're all over the state, so they don't all come in at one time, but they would begin publishing these on the web in July, okay? Early July, so we get our first ones up there. And then for most people, unless they knew to go look there, the first time they would see it was in the middle of August when we would have the wheat seed book would actually appear in their hands and be distributed around the state. We started tweeting about that. It says July 11th there. And every week we would say, winter wheat performance test, new data available, added as it comes available. 229 people saw that before the book came out. Okay? So again, we're getting that information to them on a regular basis. And here, at a distinct time advantage over those who, in a traditional way. We're doing the same thing with our corn performance test, which is a fall harvest, so we're getting that information available. And what I have here is the number of clicks on that link over time. So everywhere you see a spike, so there's about 1 week intervals, that's when a new tweet went out. So it just basically says more data are available, and we'd see anywhere from 15 to 30 clicks on it the day it went out, and then it would taper off for a couple days, and the next week you get more. Okay, so I say redundancy is good. That's one thing you need to learn, is that in science publishing, we tend to think you've said it once, you don't ever have to say it again. That is not the case in social media. You need to repeat the message because people are going to miss it, or in this case, we're updating as we go along. And again, it's a powerful tool. So this one's been out for a month only, and we have about 150 clicks on that one already. So people are making their seed purchases for the spring now. So this information is in their hands when they're making those decisions. A couple other success stories. We've been interacting with the media. They're on Twitter, so they tweet our stuff. We tweet their stuff. So Ignacio is here in the back. He did some interviews with AgAM in Kansas. So KSU Crops is his handle and K-State Agron, so they're mentioning us and we're mentioning them. Bottom is a Topeka television station. Infographics, another very useful tool, a short story and a nice graphical message. This is one of Ignacio's, and what he does is take pictures often and points out various things, and these are very, very popular, and you can build your own graphics from scratch. They don't have to have photographs. And you can't see it from there, but you also see that we have mentioned our Kansas Grain Sorghum Commission. They love to see this stuff. because what we're saying is, you know, here's Kansas Grain Sorter, and they supported some of this work. So it builds our relationship with our stakeholders when we're supporting each other through social media. Same thing was true with our Kansas Wheat Group. We have found that student successes and activities are very popular. It's not really part of our target audience, but it's a limited amount of bragging that we do. And what we're picking up is a fair amount of our alumni as they graduate and they continue to follow us. And we tell them as students, you should be following this because you will use this information. And they like to then sort of reach back and say, oh, the soil judging team is in Iowa. They're looking at those nice black mollisols. Or the crops judging team won the National Australian Crops Judging Contest. So we see a lot of activity when we send these out, lots of retweets and interest in those sorts of things. So limited amount of bragging, I think, helps keep that connection with our growing alumni base on this. But again, it's not personal stuff. So harnessing the power, use your tweets to draw people to your content. That's what it's all about. You have good stuff. And people need to know about it. We start out thinking about fitting our existing content into social media, and we'll have turned the corner when we start designing our content for social media. I don't mean watering it down. I mean we're linking people to extension bulletins. That's great, but that's our old content, our old way of expressing our content. We need to pull figures and stuff out of those bulletins and use that as attention grabbers and design those graphics for that purpose, and then always offer the audience the opportunity to go to that complete information if they choose to do so. Don't let retweets dominate your outputs because then it doesn't look like you have anything of your own to offer. So I don't know the numbers. Clearly, it should be more than 50% of your own material. Use the mentions frequently. I use the Kansas Grain Sorghum as an example. And then again, redundancy is good. If you follow Twitter and you follow a lot of people, things get pushed down in your feed very quickly. So it's okay to send something out more than one time. Don't make a pest of yourself and don't do it multiple times in one day, but spacing them out over several days or a week is just fine. If it's, you know, if there's a good reason to take people back to that material. So what are some useful metrics? Well, there's your followers over time. Pretty much a linear increase. There is one sort of inflection there. The bottom, it says about the 8th of May. That was this last May. And that I attribute to our weed extension specialist, who was doing his touring around the states, taking pictures and reporting on the condition of the crop in various counties. And it seemed like we were gaining 10 followers a day when he was doing that. But on average, we're gaining 2 to 3 people per day. Reach is the number of unique accounts that you touch in a certain period of time. So we selected a snapshot. We had a good week in September, so I'm using one of our better weeks. 37,000 unique Twitter accounts saw our information. Now, one of that was our K-State president, who has 18,000 followers. He retweeted that tweet I showed you about the Australian Crops Judging Contest. So we gained 18,000 people with that single action on his part. So in an average week, we're reaching 20 to 25,000 people of our own. And exposure is the number of times you send things out. So if we send things out, you know, twice, and we have 1,500 followers, that's 300 or 3,000 impressions. So 62,000 impressions in that week. So it's very powerful. And then you can break that down as to, you know, where is all that coming from? Well, K-State Prez, that's Kirk Schultz. 18,000 followers. He retweeted something that we had. Bam, we had 18,000. We sent out 12 of our own. We have, well, at that time it was around 1,400 some followers, but there's 17,000 right there. And it's interesting to look at who is interested in your stuff. Arable Farmer is in the UK, and they retweet our stuff on a regular basis. And Kansas Farm Boy, you would expect that. UNL Crop Watch, that's their one state to the north. KSU Crops is Ignacio. WX Chip is our weather data library person, so you can get a sense for who's looking at your stuff, who's resending it, and maybe you could even target some material that they're interested in. You can get maps as to where your followers are. No surprise, 87% of ours are in the U.S., and the other ones that are kind of single digits are mostly English-speaking countries, but we're quite global with it. And then within the U.S., it's a little surprising to me that 45% or 46% of ours are from Kansas, so less than half from our own state, and this is K-State Agron, and then spread across the country. A little bit of a concentration in the surrounding states, but still all over the country for the most part. We don't have all 50 states, but we're working on it. So conclusions, Twitter and other social media, don't have time to go into all of that, are powerful ways to interact with existing clientele and to expand your clientele base. I am absolutely convinced that there are hundreds of more people out there who are now aware of what we do than before, simply from using Twitter. Identify your audience and define your objectives. Don't make it random. Don't make it willy-nilly. Draw people to your content. What's your message? You have good information. Pull people to it in various ways. And then design your content for social media. That's the infographics and other things you might design just for Twitter or just for Facebook. It's okay to do that. That's important, and it has a great impact. And in our case, the growth has been slow but very steady. I'm still waiting for the curve to taper off. I hope it doesn't. I think we'll continue to increase. I don't know where we'll top out, but of course, now that we easily eclipsed 500, I want 50,000. We'll see. It might take a little while to get there. So with that, I would take any questions, and pretty good on time. Right.
How do you get the ball rolling in terms of getting people to follow you? You open a Twitter account.
Right. Yep, good question. Well, one of the best ways, we sort of have two categories at the beginning. One is what I call the sympathy followers. You know, all of your faculty, well, I guess the department head started this thing. I better follow. The other is to follow people, okay? And people in organizations. And that's how you begin to build. And that and they follow you. And you can, within Twitter, you can see who's following you and all these sorts of things, so that's how it builds. Yes?
I agree that it's very important to design the content, particularly with social media. At the beginning, who was doing that? Who was a specialist or the social media?
Good question. Both, actually. We have these ag communication students, and we're working with them they're the ones running around the video cameras, and I'm working with them to develop the infographics and other things. In Ignacio's case, he's doing some of that himself, so it's a mix. All right, thank you very much.